Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Well, I mean, it looks like you're still standing. You look okay.
No, I'm fine. I agree with you.
You don't look any worse for wear. Well, I was just wondering, after you went toe-to-toe 15 rounds with Avalanche fans this weekend on Twitter.
Well,
holy smokes.
Yeah, eventually, you know, it was hot and heavy there for a while, but about 7:15, mom and dad made them all put down their cellular devices to go to bed because it was a school night.
Ah,
so,
I see.
Yeah, it was a school night. So they had to go to bed. So about 7:15, it all stopped.
Ah.
Right. The flood of fanboy.
So it was fun for a while, but then, time to get their baths.
Yes, exactly. I had to take a bath Sunday night.
Take
a bath,
you know.
A little tubby, scrub it up. Yeah.
What was that all about?
They're offended by the little funny video that you and I did.
They were upset by certificates
of participation because apparently Mike Smith from Calgary stood on his head, and that's the only reason the Avalanche lost their first game. And they came back and tied it up. Good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got a split in Calgary. Good. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they controlled game two. They controlled game two.
They did.
And I'm telling you what.
Oh.
The wrist getting snapped off. Dude, how about glove side over the shoulder? I mean, that thing hit in it was like throwing it into a coffee cup. That's the target that he hit. That was a phenomenal goal.
You know, you got to understand with hockey now the way it is, because these goaltenders are so good compared to back in the day, and they're so padded up that it's tough to beat a goalie one-on-one. It really is. You know, you have to, it has to be a rebound, it has to be deflections, it has to be screen. It really is just mano-a-mano like that, you know, save for even shootouts, most shoot. I mean, the goalie stops the shooter more often than the shooter beats the goalie in shootouts, and so usually one-on-one, it's tough, but that was old school. I mean, that was a sniper's goal right there. And I can't imagine.
Did it remind you of, like, Sackett back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Sackett's wrister was just phenomenal back in the day.
Lethal. And that's exactly what
Nuggets
it was
fanboy
like.
Had never seen actually Sackett snap. They just know him as the GM.
That's right.
They've never actually seen him snap one off.
Correct.
But trust me, guys. Trust me.
He could do it. Your GM. Used to be a pretty good player.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You may want to Google that. You know, YouTube. Joe Sakic. Not the GM, the player. He was pretty good. Anyway, but no, that was a goal scorer's goal. And on the list of most terrifying things that an opposing hockey fan can think of, scenarios, Nathan MacKinnon with a burst of speed coming in on you. Whew. Scary. So now the Avs get the win. They're back home. And they play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for late night hockey at Pepsi Center. Get your naps in and see if the Avalanche can hold on to home ice. I said before the series, I thought the Avalanche would win this series. I was not at all concerned after. I mean, you had the football mentality. You were all panicky after one loss. I said, relax. It's a best of seven. There's adjustments. There's an ebb and a flow to a series. And so the Avalanche have outplayed Calgary for a game and a half thus far. So now they got to do it at home.
Yeah. No, it'll be exciting. It's an exciting series. And listen, man, I'm going to take the football mentality to everything in my life just because that's the way I'm wired. So, I do tend to panic. You know, I mean, have you taken your finger off the panic button because the Rockies won in an offensive explosion with four hits? Four runs, 4-0. Marquez was freaking phenomenal,
unbelievable. But
by the way, here's my impression of Avalanche fanboy. You ready? Okay,
here it is.
All right, here we go.
You know, you're just asking for more. You know?
All right, here's my impression of Avs fanboy, like Aaron here. Wait, let me just look at my Twitter page. Okay, this is Aaron. all right, let me see who else we got here. Go screen down here. Oh, Zach. Zach, you're on this list. You're on my list.
So oh, you're like Baker Mayfield now. You got a list.
Super the Great. Ooh, Super the Great.
Super the Great?
Yeah, Super the Great is getting his teeth, brushing his teeth right now. He's probably got a social studies test. All right, so here's my impression of you, Super the Great. Please pay attention to the abs. Please pay attention to my sport. Me. Hey, guys, I mean, that goal, it should be disallowed. The right winger had his foot in that little circle thing around the goaltender. That's the crease, you idiot! The crease! Don't ever talk about my game! You don't understand Avalanche hockey! It's the crease! Get out of here.
I apologize to everybody who's just kind of going through your morning commute nice and slow, and all of a sudden now you've been jolted. Jolted to a whole nother level. So, much more on that.
Good luck. Seriously, though, this is from the heart. This is super the Great. Good luck on that social studies test today.
You know, listen, Avalanche fan, I know you're a passionate group on Twitter, but you don't know what you've gotten yourself into. All I can tell you, I warn you, you don't understand the briar patch you're getting into right now here when you try to go after Stink there on Twitter. Why are so many people reacting so emotionally to Tiger Woods winning the Masters? Did it surprise you at all, the outpouring of emotion?
No, it did. It didn't. I think there's a couple of things about. Just societally speaking. One, the Masters is huge, but from a society standpoint, the thing we love to do more than knock a dude off his pedestal, like we love it when a guy falls, right? We always joke around about this in kind of the church parlance, you know, the Christian parlance. We will beat a dead horse, you know, and it's part of us being human, and some of the things that we do that just aren't right. But that's just part of the deal. But we love a great redemption story. Americans love a redemption story. And what an unbelievable redemption story this is. Whether it's, you know, picking yourself up after you've made a ton of mistakes in your personal life like Tiger has, his ability, I mean, it's not only that, his ability, he's had four back surgeries. His last back surgery, you know, it's good. This is, and I heard somebody say this, and I'll just steal it. I don't know who said it, so I can't credit, but it said they should just talk, whatever back surgery he had, you know, he had the cage put in. They should just call that the Tiger Woods. You know, like the Tommy John surgery that everybody has, which is an only collateral ligament replacement. They should just call it the Tiger Woods, because he had that back surgery just so that he was hoping to just live life without being in constant pain. Nobody thought he was going to come back and actually play professional golf, let alone, you know, championship golf, let alone Masters championship golf. They just didn't think it was going to be possible. So it's the redemption story aspect of seeing this. And a lot of us grew up watching him and his father in 97 embrace, right? Remember that? And now you're seeing from father to son pass down those generations. It's a really cool thing.
Are the Nuggets going to recover from their game one loss? What has to happen tonight? That's coming up, or tomorrow night, that's coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So, Avalanche hosting the Flames, game three, coming up tonight at Pepsi Center. 8 o'clock face-off for that one. Nuggets back to work tomorrow as they need to bounce back from their game one loss to the Spurs. So what for you, Mark, was the biggest takeaway from game one?
Well, I will tell you that I didn't like, obviously, I thought the Spurs did a great job of double teaming every time it went to Nikola, double teaming him. And the fact that the Nuggets just couldn't knock down a shot. And I get, you know, Nikola, hey, he's a great passer. I get all those things. And he is. You got to be able to knock down shots when you have wide open shots. They've got to hit those shots. I get that part. But when those shots aren't going down, then you got to get to the foul line. There was a play in the fourth quarter late where he gets the ball at the rim. Nikola gets it at the rim. Of course, they double team him. Go up strong and either flush it or get yourself fouled. But he dishes off underneath. The ball gets tipped around. It doesn't get to the intended receiver of the basketball. And then it's going the other way. And I'm like, no. You know what? There comes a time when you have to take over a game. Take it over. And I get the double team aspect of it, but you guys aren't knocking down shots. I think you shot like 21% from 3-point land and about 41% overall. You got to be able to knock down shots if they're going to double team the Joker. And they couldn't do that.
You can't be called a superstar if you're taking 9 shots in a playoff game at home that is nip and tuck the entire
second nobody,
half.
By the way, you get a triple double, but where nobody else is knocking down shots.
Yeah, I'm okay. If you have a game in which you have 14 assists and it's because everybody else is shooting the ball so well, you're like, hey, fine, tonight we got it going. I'm just going to distribute. No problem at all. I'll play the role of decoy. Guys are knocking down shots. They go out and score 116 points the other night and shoot 52% from the field and hit maybe 39% of their threes. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But on a night where they only score 96 points, they shoot 42% from the field, 21% from beyond the arc, then I can't have my best player taking 9 shots and playing the majority of the second half 25 feet from the basket. So, you know, I recognize that Nikola Jokic is one of the great passing big men we've ever seen. I said early on that this is the best passing big man I've seen since Larry Bird. So that's great and all. But here's the other thing I knew about Larry Bird. Larry Bird would not be taking 9 shots in a playoff game at home with his team in a nip and tuck affair. If you want to be the star, you want to be the superstar, you got to demand the basketball, and you're not going to give back up. Not when your team's struggling around you offensively like that.
Yeah, and when Michael Malone is asked what kind of adjustments he needs to make in game 2, and he said, "Hey, simple, make more shots." It's got to be more than make more shots. It's got to be better than knock down some shots. That can't be your only adjustment. Hey, man, I'm with you. Nikola's got to be more aggressive. There have got to be times when, and I've said this a million times, and this is why I didn't like the way they finished the season, Mike. I told you, I didn't like the fact that they were 5-6 down the stretch in the last 11 games. I didn't like the lackadaisical attitude. I didn't like the standing around, the lack of movement, the lack of fast break, the lack of all those things that we had seen them throughout the regular season. We'd seen them run. We'd seen them do these things. We'd seen them control tempo. And they got into a pattern of, you know, I'm not a believer that if your game is, hey, we're just going to knock down shots, defensive intensity is different. In the playoffs, the way they close down those shots, it's different. It just is. And every guy I talk to, every guy that I bump into, every guy that I work with at Fox, my old colleagues at ESPN, when I talk to guys who cover this game, when I talk to guys who formerly played in this game, every one of them said the same thing. The Nuggets were just, even though they were the number 2 seed, nice team, really good. They're going to be in for a rude awakening come playoff time. They don't have the experience. They don't understand it. And the way they finished the season, Mike, now, of course, you know me. I'm one to panic. I'm apt to panic. You know, I'm the Horton here's a who guy. But if their whole game plan tonight is just knock down more shots, you're in deep trouble.
Well, tomorrow night. But
tomorrow night,
yeah,
that's what I meant.
Because it's the NBA playoffs. A lot more days off in between games. Right. I hate that about the NBA playoffs, but you know, hockey's like every other night, basically.
And the nice thing is we don't have to go flipping back and forth between the Avs and the Nugs.
True, true. But I mean, you tell me if Nikola Jokic is the man, how can he be going 4 of 9 while Jamal Murray's going 8 of 24? Now, if you're telling me Jamal Murray's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what does it say that when it came time to drop the game-winning play, it was for Jamal Murray? What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, what does it tell you? Does it tell you that they know they're double-teaming the Joker?
Come on, Mark. In the long annals of NBA, the idea of the superstar, right?
Correct.
The superstar gets the ball even when everybody knows he's getting the ball.
Yeah.
So... I think it was kind of interesting that the final play was drawn up not for Jokic. It was drawn up for Murray.
Yeah, that's like when Jimmy Chitwood.
Right.
And Hoosier said, right. But I'll make the show, shot, coach. Like he was going to draw it up and use Chitwood as the decoy. No, Jimmy said, I'll make the shot. We need a little more Jimmy Chitwood.
We need Nikola Jokic to go a little bit more Chitwood. That's right. Of course, I'd ask the Huff to get it, but he's never seen Hoosiers.
It's like an idiot that doesn't watch Game of Thrones. What a loser. What a loser that guy is.
Now, all that said, now I was, when the Avalanche lost game one, I was like, hey, long series, ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel different? The Nuggets losing game one. Are you confident that do they come out in game two tomorrow night? You got two scenarios. Do they come out, all right, hey, we got that one under our belt. Now we know what playoff basketball is all about. We'll relax and we'll go out and play our game. Or do they play tight? Knowing that they've already lost home court advantage and they have a difficult history winning in San Antonio.
Yeah, no, I think they go out and play with a little bit more aggressiveness, a little bit more passion, a little bit more of what got them the best home record in the NBA. I think they go out there and play a little bit more of their game, Mike. That's my prediction.
And they bounce back.
Bounce back.
Okay.
Victory.
We shall see. Morning Brew is coming your way. Did Germán Márquez save the Rockies season yesterday? That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of improvised a little bit. It wasn't a set play. Koffer kicked out, so I had to come in and take it. Then I switched with Gabe. He went back door, and they kind of lost him for a second, I guess, and Koffer put in the open net. So it was kind of our only fortunate play we had all night. You know, we had so many chances, and nothing would go in. And we finally got a bounce.
Nathan MacKinnon talking about the game-tying goal that set up overtime, and then he comes through with just a goal scorer's goal. I mean, that was as the great term in hockey. You know, that was a sniper. He's a sniper. Yeah,
right.
That was a sniper shot. I mean, that was just brilliant shot to win it. But how about the Avalanche? And listen, I don't when the Avalanche playoff run ends. Okay, and I don't see it ending with them lifting Lord Stanley's cup. They're not at that level. They need to continue to upgrade their talent. But while we're waiting for them to upgrade their talent to a Stanley Cup level, Mark, this team's got guts. You know, they showed that guts down the stretch, climbing into and finally securing that final playoff spot. And they showed it again in the first two games of this series, where there could have been a lot of frustration setting in, but they kept chipping away, and they come home with a split.
I mean, it's a great split. There's no question about that, especially after a shutout performance where they didn't take care of special teams in game one. They gave up two shorthanded goals and, they didn't play that aspect of the first game well enough. And that was, you know, Barry Melrose's key is special teams. You gotta score on power plays, and obviously you've got to be able to shut down the opponent's power play. They did not do that in game one. They ended up losing 4-0. There was an empty net goal at the end of the game. But the bottom line is this: to be able to respond to that, to be able to go into overtime on the road and to be able to get that goal to win that overtime contest, that's impressive, man. And it's impressive that you can do that. And as you said, you know, they controlled the ice, and I know I gave you grief for it, but they controlled the ice early in game one. They controlled the ice the other day in game two. And, you know, good things are going to happen. You put the puck on net, you continue to grind, good things will eventually happen to you.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, we struggle to make shots, 6 of 28 from 3. Getting to the foul line helps. Got there 24 times. That third quarter, our defense was phenomenal. We just couldn't score. Held them to 13 points. We only scored 17. But I tell you, we had a lot of wide-open shots that didn't fall for us tonight, and hopefully they'll fall on Tuesday night.
All right, there's Michael Malone. So for everybody who's defending Nikola Jokic's passiveness offensively, only taking 9 shots and pointing to his 14 assists. It was pretty clear that Greg Popovich, his game plan was to let somebody else other than Nikola Jokic beat him.
Right.
So if Popovich is sending the very clear message that he doesn't want Jokic to be the guy to beat him, how can you defend the idea of Jokic being so passive offensively? Look, to me, Mark, you got to put Nikola Jokic down on the block. You got to force feed the ball to him, and he's got to make moves, almost daring the officials not to blow the whistle. That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all want this guy to get a whistle. Well, you're not going to get the whistle when you're continuously playing 25 feet away from the basket.
How many times did he go to the line, Jokic?
Twice. He was 2 of 2.
Went to the line twice,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, come on.
He went to the line twice. That's what I'm saying. It's like that play at the end of the game where he defers and dishes. You know, LeBron has taken a pile of crap for his, you know, his deferring. Well, it's the right play. He had the wide open guy. The right play is when you're the alpha male. At some point, the right play is to go up strong, and if you don't make the bucket, you go to the foul line. You went to the foul line twice.
Yeah.
Come on now.
All right, so then, you know, game one, Greg Popovich out-coached Michael Malone.
Correct.
So now it's up to Michael Malone to bounce back and have a better game plan. And that game plan has to be more than 9 shot attempts and 2 free throw attempts for Nikola Jokic. If he is a superstar, if he is your best player. Now, if he's not, and it's Jamal Murray, then you're fine with Jamal Murray taking 24 shots and Will Barton 15. 39 shots combined between Murray and Will Barton. Jokic takes 9. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah! Crush high and deep left field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Who called that shot? On air, I did.
I think Philly did, but it could have been said quietly somewhere else.
3-run Jack Nolan Arenado, first of the year.
All right.
Man.
The $260 million man. Welcome to the season. Took a while. But Arenado hits his first home run, raises his average to a robust 254. But Germán Márquez, Mark, 9 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 9 strikeouts, absolute domination at a time where the Rockies desperately needed a performance like this. Is this the kind of performance that gets a season going, or do you remain highly skeptical?
I remain highly skeptical. I mean, in this, like I said, offensive explosion. You had 4 hits,
5.
Oh, they got
they had 5 hits.
Yeah, 5 hits. Offensive 4 runs, 5 hits.
Oof.
I was thinking to myself, hey, man, Márquez is pitching so well about the sixth inning. I was like, can we save some of these runs? Some of this offensive explosion?
Carry some over to the next
game? Carry some over? I mean, 4 runs. That was like, 4 runs for the Rockies. That's like a week's worth of scoring. Think about that, Mike. You got a guy throwing a no-hitter through 7? I think he gave up his first hit in the 8th inning. He's throwing a no-hitter. And you've been able to scratch 4 runs off a 3-run homer by Nolan. Offensively, man, this team is still, and like I said, you still haven't gotten to the crux of the issue with the Rockies, is you still haven't even gotten to expose the bullpen.
Yeah, we haven't tested that theory out yet. Tonight they're at San Diego to take on the Padres. Next on the Morning Brew.
To have my kids there, it's come full circle. You know, my dad was here in 97, and now I'm the dad with 2 kids there.
Man, it was cool to see back to back the images of him, Tiger, hugging his father after winning the Masters, then hugging his son and daughter after winning the Masters. It was really cool. And you know, I think that the thing that you have to understand about this remarkable comeback by Tiger is how much his peers idolize this guy, and we're rooting for this guy, and to be able to be out there playing on the same course, and you saw how many players hung around and wanted to congratulate him and hug him after it was all said and done. You know, you cannot maybe as the years went by and it looked like Tiger was done, we forgot about. But you got to go back to that time when Tiger revolutionized golf. He got so many people into golf. He caused golf courses to be built. His presence or his lack of presence here at the International led to the downfall of that tournament. I mean, the guy was everything. And to see all those young golfers out there who were trying to go toe-to-toe with him and then put the ball in the water time after time. I mean, these are the guys who picked up the sticks because of Tiger.
Yeah. It's amazing. And, you know, Tiger has, you know, obviously suffered a lot of self-inflicted wounds. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, you listen to the people who know him best talk about how much he's changed and how willing he is, you know, to share and open up and do the things like these. He apparently has learned from those mistakes, how much more he's enjoying it. And there was a time where I used to say Tiger is the most intimidating athlete on the planet. He would just intimidate the heck out of the other golfers. And yesterday felt like old Tiger Woods when we used to just watch guys crumble around him. He was just Mr. Steady Eddie yesterday. Like, hey, man. Not going to put myself into harm's way, and I'll let everybody else make mistakes.
But that's what made that one interesting, is that so many times Tiger wins, he's already established the lead.
Right.
And then he closes. He's Mariano Rivera closing it down. This was interesting because he did have to come from behind.
First time in his career he's ever come from behind to win a major,
but
Mike.
It wasn't, you know, just this unbelievable charge. I think he shot, what, 2 under yesterday?
Yeah.
He just waited for everybody else to fall.
Yeah. But there's beauty in that, right? To not be execute. I put a game plan together. I'm going to execute it throughout the course of the day. I thought it was masterfully done.
Yeah. I got that. Yeah, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. A lot to react to from the weekend that was. We'll hear from you coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
A lot of reaction to a busy, busy weekend. Saw a lot of stuff happen. Continues this week. Pepsi Center is going to be rocking here the next 3 nights. On the RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043. Tiger's peers are thrilled because their paydays were just secured. What was it that I read? He made in winning the Masters this time. It was some $400 or almost $600,000. He made $600,000 less when he won his first one. So that's how much the prize pool has gone up.
Oh, yeah.
So like when he won his first one compared to yesterday,
I think yesterday
the winnings was $600,000 less.
Less when he won his first one.
Right.
Right, yeah. I think he made $2 million something.
Mm-hmm.
Just over a shade over $2 million in prize money. It's a good payday for your caddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the caddies do it. They do a 10% deal on the cat. I wonder if you get...
Well, unless you're Matt Kuchar's, but that's a... He gives him like 3%. Remember the whole?
Yeah.
He had one of the earlier. Yeah. It's like he got in all kinds of trouble for that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys clearly don't know how the Nuggets play. This team plays well when they make threes. You can deny or accept the fact that they need Barton Murray and Gary Harris to make threes, and they didn't at all. Okay, if you're going to tell me then that that Nikola Jokic is a dependent player, meaning that the Nuggets offense revolves around him passing to open guys,
mm-hmm.
and then they either take shots, or if they pass up shots, they pass it back to him, and that's how he gets his offense. If you're telling me that's their model, then don't tell me that Nikola Jokic is a superstar then. I mean, come on. Who, if you've been following basketball and you watch the great, great players, you're telling me that's how they score? Is they're dependent on guys like Will Barton and Gary Harris and Jamal Murray? I get that the Nuggets need to make shots. Look, the NBA is a make shot league.
Right.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not just a Nugget model. It's an NBA model. It's a make shot league. Okay. And especially with the 3-point line, it is more of a make shots league than it ever has been. Doesn't mean that when you have a weapon like Nikola Jokic, who you can put down low, and he has an array of low post moves and a lot of smarts and savviness to be able to get to the basket and score. And you only get, he goes to the free throw line once?
Two times.
He took two shots. He went to the free throw line once. He was 2 for 2.
2 for 2, yeah.
So if you're telling me that that's a model that's going to win a championship around here, no, it's not.
You're 100% right. It is a make shot league, and the 3-point line has changed the way we view basketball. Remember when it was always about getting a big man? Right? It was always about having a big man. Gotta have a post player. That's, when you and I grew up, that's what basketball was. If you don't have a big man, you can't win. It's completely changed. The league has completely changed. That said, when you're not knocking down shots, you know what you have to do? You've got to adjust. You got to find a way to win basketball games. And you didn't get that done in game one. You're the 2 seed for a reason. You had home court advantage. You didn't get it done. I mean, don't tell me the game plan is, hey, we just got to knock down more shots. Because then I could coach your team. Hey, we just got to knock down more shots. Hey, you know what? We just got to catch the football. Hey, you know what? We got to find more completions. Hey, you know what? We got to throw more strikes. Hey, you know what? We got to hit more home runs. Hey, you know what? We need to keep our knees bent and stay low. I mean, come on, guys. It's got to be more than make more shots. And for the Joker, you're a superstar and you knocked down 4 buckets. You took 9 shots and you got to the free throw line once. You show me, you know what? I didn't watch the game last night between Harden and the Houston Rockets and the Jazz. And, you know, the Rockets blew them out. I bet you if I looked at the stat line that Harden went to the free throw line more than once. This is just a, you know, we're talking about superstars, right? Is that what we're talking about, Mike? Talking about practice. Are we talking about practice?
Harden actually only went to the line twice. He was 3 for 3.
Well,
but he took 26 shots.
But I guarantee you one thing, if they're not blowing him out, if it's a tight game,
then he's
standing at the free throw, he's standing at the charity stripe 12 times.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's the way superstars do it. And he's not, well, the Joker's not going to get those same calls. So, you know, I understand that aspect of it, but you got to take more than 9 shots. You're a star. Take more than 9 shots.
Some more coming in here on the ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Mark, are you more optimistic about the Avalanche after you were game one when you called it a debacle?
Game one was a debacle.
You called it a debacle. It wasn't a debacle.
It was a debacle.
We argued about this. It was not a debacle.
You got
it was a missed opportunity, but it wasn't a debacle.
You got your ass kicked.
Nah, they didn't get their ass kicked.
4-0's not an ass kicking.
No.
Okay, you'd be on the other side. If they won 4-0, you'd be like, they opened up a can of whoop ass. We're the greatest. Boy, you have... This is why you got a participation award for the Nuggets the Avalanche's moral victory in game one.
Uh-huh.
That's why you got a participation award.
I see.
That really irritated Nuggets fanboy.
Okay.
Really got Nuggets
Avalanche fanboy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, actually, Avalanche fanboy, and I didn't think this was possible, worse than Nuggets fanboy.
Oh, no. That's not surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because as we've clearly established, the two most defensive groups of sports fans out there are soccer fan and hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey fan's the worst because soccer fan, while being very snobby about their game, they're willing to welcome you in. Hockey fan is not only very arrogant about their game,
mm-hmm.
but they really don't want to let you in either.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that's hockey fan. But hey, win tonight. More and more people will start to jump on your bandwagon, hockey fan, and you'll have to make room for, egads, people who don't know the game. You may have to explain icing to them. All right, you're going to clear the air. So many things to choose from.
Right. I mean,
maybe tell us about that Game of Thrones premiere last night.
I was thinking about how it was that Game of Thrones. You know what? Maybe I will talk about Game of Thrones. Clear the air. Because it was amazing.
All right, find out. No spoilers, please. That's next.